Blog Talk Radio.
Give me paradise.
Good evening. That was Maxwell's Ascension. For those of you that are a little bit young, it's from 1996. And it's very nice, chill, on-point relaxation song. I just want to welcome everybody to Thursday Night Breaking the Curse. My name is Brother Jan Kaczynski, and I'm riding shotgun with my brother and our brother, Brother Hess. Tonight we're discussing self-discipline and laziness. Good topic, many ways to look at it. But before we dive into it, I'm going to bring my brother and our brother back in here with me, introduce himself, and, kind of break open the show and see where we can take this thing. Brother Hess, you with me right now?
Yes, sir. Peace and blessings, love and service to the La Familia, man. Everything is well on this end and looking for a very fantastic opportunity tonight to break this curse, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, man. This is a heck of a curse, man. I've been scratching my head all week trying to figure out how to come at this angle. And, man, I think it's going to be a good topic and we're going to have a good discussion here. How you feeling, my brother?
Man, all is well, man. God is good, man. It's been a beautiful day today and definitely looking forward to a wonderful show. Man, I had an opportunity today to look at one of the facts that, man, we got a lot to look forward to when we know our calling in life. So I'm looking forward to seeing how tonight's topic can lead to today's evaluated message coming from my spiritual higher power. So, brother, let's definitely kick this thing off right.
Let's do it. If you could, please, brother, introduce POTS Movement. You know, you've been around longer than I have. Kick it off a little bit, explain exactly what we do, what we're offering, what we got going on here before we kick it off. And then as soon as we do, we'll kick it off, we'll talk about it, and hopefully some people want to come in and discuss it with us. So maybe something happened to our brother's phone. I think he dropped a call in the studio. So I guess I'll do the honors of, breaking this thing open a little bit. And hopefully everything will go well with him and his phone. You know how phones be sometimes. We do live in the technology age, but it ain't perfect. It definitely is not perfect. But in any case, definitely want to kick off the show. Welcome everybody to POTS Movement Thursday Night Breaking the Curse. We would like to welcome everybody. And appropriately, as we strive to remember that this is a family-based program, we would like to remind everyone that POTS Movement is always inclusive and never exclusive. We want everyone to feel comfortable to speak from their hearts. And, please keep in mind that we have children and seniors here at POTS Movement. So watch your language and be respectful to everyone's opinions. We're not allied to any race, religion, creed, sect, anything whatsoever. We are POTS Movement, and that's what we stand for. And we just want to remind everybody that that's who we are and that's what we wish to be. You can't, kick people to the side just because of who they are that's different than what you believe in or what you, physically are. With that being said, this is about the six steps to peace. Meaning we are about organizing a program within our individual self that brings peace to ourselves and to our communities. The six steps to peace are: step one, forming a bond. A bond requires us to first bond with ourselves to discover our true identity, and the forming of a bond with someone else by bringing value to their lives without expecting a thing in return. A lot of times people want something from us. Well, possibly we don't want anything from you other than your love. It's simple as that. Everything else, you can have that. Your time, we would like your time a little bit, but it's not required. Love is all that we ask for. Step two, identify the problem. Well, our communities go through many, many different types of problems: addiction, relationships, spiritual walks, where we're, spiritually lost, life in general. And, life can beat you down sometimes, but we're trying to keep you built up and we're trying to build you up. And the only way we can do this is by identifying those problems that you're having in your personal life. And then through our forming of a bond, figure out ways that we can, fix those problems. And that's where the expression of unity comes in. That's where the expression of unity comes in. We know that people need someone to trust that does not want to take, hurt, make fun of, or, you know, through whatever struggles that we may be going through. And that's perfectly all right, because that's how we become family. When we can express that unity, you know, when we go to our family's house, a lot of families, I'm not saying all families, but, you know, when we come to our family's house, it's one big family. We're all united. We're doing this together. And that's what's important. We, you know, through our six steps of peace, we're able to bring that bond together. And, you know,
right.
Unity is our greatest asset. And here at Pops Movement, unity love is what kept these airways open for the many years that we've been on the airways now. With our ability to show our people, we just want to give what we have and learned in our walk of life / testimony. It's our testimony that defines us, and it's our expression of unity that supplies that testimony, because we're doing it together. And our testimony is stronger than, you know, as a unit than it is individually. Step four, get into the solution. What is required to get into the solution? How can we build together to get ourselves out of the predicaments that we put ourselves in? What do we know, or what do we need to learn to get us out of these predicaments? A lot of times we don't have those tools. A lot of times we don't even know where to look. But you know what? When we're united, when we have built bonds with people who do know what to do, like we have at Pops Movement, we're able to do it together. What you know, I may not know. Where I know, you may know. And together, that's how we break that curse. That's how we, you know, break that cycle that we keep going through over and over and over again, because we keep meeting people who don't know very much. But the important part is knowing those people. Step five, we need to strategize. Man, if you don't have a game plan, you're not getting anywhere. Sports, if you're going into a football game, basketball game, baseball game, it doesn't matter. You're strategizing before that game, and you need to know what is going on, how it's going on, who's playing, what are the players, et cetera, et cetera. Step-by-step process is very important to, you know, getting into the solutions and, you know, fixing our problems that we face today, our social ills, our social norms, whatever they may be. You know, step six is take that responsibility. Once that strategy is put into place, we got to take responsibility. Whether it's for someone else or for ourselves, the responsibility has to be taken by somebody. Cannot do it alone. Therefore, that is why we have expressed that unity in step two. In step three, I already forgot my steps. But, you know, you got to have that blueprint, and, you know, step five gives us that blueprint. Step six just executes that blueprint. To break that curse, we must utilize step six, because it's a journey that requires our full commitment and attention to defeat these curses that our communities are facing and will continue to face unless we do something about it. So with that being said, now that I've introduced the family and introduced Pops Movement, let's kick off the show. I see my brother. Our brother is back in the studio. Brother Hess, you still here with us, bro?
Man, live and direct. Soon as you told me to go, man. Look, man, I tried to go, man, and I failed, man, and I stutter-stepped. And so definitely, man, you know what I mean? You came through like step three, man, and you expressed the importance of unity. So thank you, brother, because Lord have mercy. But, yeah, go ahead, brother. Let's try and get that thing going.
Let's do this.
I feel like I'm real doing it right now, bro.
Okay. It's okay. We forgive you, bro. We forgive you. The important part is I'm right here with you, man. And I already took the responsibility for you. And that's because I could pick up where you fall and vice versa. Where I fell many times, you picked me up. And that's, you know, that's just our discipline of how we like to conduct our shows and our family, you know. This is the strength. This is the backbone of it all. You know what I mean?
It's only fair.
All right, man. Well, you know, before we get too far into it, I definitely encourage everybody to press one. I see someone already has. As soon as we kind of, you know, lay the groundwork real quick, definitely will bring you back in. But please press one. Come on in to have discussion with us. You know, it's the only way we're going to get this knowledge out there is by we sharing it over these airwaves and we're doing it all together. So, bruh, thinking about laziness, self-discipline. Like, one of the things I was thinking about, and I'm just going to say this real quick before I let you, you know, come in. One of the things I was looking at is, like, whenever you hear lack of self-discipline or laziness, you instantly think negative. And through my research, I found that that is absolutely the wrongest way you can go about it. And with that being said, I'll let you take over, because I want to see where you're going to come from this first.
Well, peace and blessings. Most take time out to give all the honor to our higher power, who I choose to call God, which is G-O-D, good orderly direction from above. And so, you know, with that being said,
when I think about laziness, a lack of self-discipline, the tendency to procrastinate, these seeds you planted in my head for the last couple of days, and I can't be anything but real with myself, and so I must be real with y'all. When I thought about these things, when I meditated over it, when I prayed over it, and I began to structure a layout of how to formulate the right words so that it could come across correctly, it said, just be real, fam. Just be real, Brother Hess. And so my biggest problem in life is the tendency to want to procrastinate, to be lazy, to not inject that self-discipline into my affairs. From the moment I wake up in the morning, I'm like, man, I want more sleep. I'm tired. I only got 5 hours last night. I only had 6.5 hours. I only was able to achieve 3 hours. I went to bed at 2 o'clock, and here it is 5 already. Man, I deserve another hour. And then my mind would go to thinking, you know what, man? Listen, fam, if you get up right now, Brother Hess, man, I'm telling you, you're going to be feeling ill-spirited. You're going to be walking around groggy, you know, ready to snap on somebody. You're going to feel that sleep tired, and that sleep tired going to make you grumpy and ready to look at someone else as being the reason that you're having a bad day. And so I have to fight this. And how do I fight it? I have to fight it by being honest. I have to be honest with myself. But I don't want to be honest. I don't want it. What I want is to keep sleeping. You see, when it came to the community meetings, and I know I'm the one that has to facilitate it, or else we're not going to have it in this community. What I want to do is to say, man, they don't care nothing about this community meeting. Out of 200 people, only 3-5 people show up. So why even have it? When we do collections to do community meals, I got to darn near pry $3 out of this person's hand and pry $10 out of this rich person's hand that got plenty of money but don't want to feed the community. But then when they bickering with their next-door neighbor, the first person they want to call up is old Brother Hess. They'll listen to you, Brother Hess. They don't want to listen to nobody else. Please come and talk to them. And so even in those tendencies, what I have begun to see is that inside of me is a craving to be lazy, to lack the self-discipline that would make me a structured individual who is trained to go, to time that buzzer ring on that alarm clock, trained to go as soon as I hear something going on in the neighborhood that needs to be mediated or altered in another way than the way that it's going. When it comes to the community meeting, that self-discipline, when I have to stand out in front of everybody, the whole community, or when I have to ride through when it's time to vote, or when I have to go around when it's time to collect for the meals, and it's like I don't feel like it. My feelings are wanting to remove the discipline and structure of myself and fall back from all of that. And so when you ask me what I think about the lack of self-discipline and the tendencies to be lazy, I look at myself and nobody else, and I see what it is that I have caused myself at a very early age, because in my adolescent stages, Brother Yon, I allowed the laziness to win, you know, so much to where I think I smoked over half of my adolescent up, just staying high, higher than Cootie Brown, as my mud deer used to call it. I stayed in a sleep state, even when I was up. And when I was asleep, I didn't sleep no 7-8 hours. I slept 10 hours, 12 hours, scliffed before I went to sleep. And so the laziness, the apathy, the complacency, the lack of self-discipline has been so deeply embedded into my own life to where I cursed myself. I gave myself a curse and allowed myself to remain up under this spell for so long to where when it got time for me to stand up and be a man, I still was lazy in that. Most people take on responsibility between the ages of 18 and 21. Man, I waited till I was 28, just about. And now I look back at all the time that I wasted through the laziness, through the tendency to procrastinate and put things off, even my manhood. I was a boy for far too long because of the laziness. The lack of self-discipline did not come in and enable me to structure my life, meaning structure my mind, meaning structure my focus. And the changes that had to be made to mature these things, to develop them, to walk them through the phases that they must go through in order for me to see who it is that I truly am. And so I cheated me, man, with this curse. Me out of a whole lot of my life. And now here it is, I got gray hairs growing on my chin, and I'm just now, you know, turning the page of manhood. And it hurts a little bit, bro, you know, to think about the things I lost because of my laziness, you know, because of my tendencies to want to look real cool, real tough, without doing the work that was required in order to become tough as far as being a skilled fighter, you know, looking real cool like I just got it, like I got a big old check and I can sit around and do nothing, knowing darn well I ain't hardly got $10 in my pocket. Ready to ask somebody for a cigarette. Cause I ain't even got enough to pay for that. And that's where I was at in life. But with that being said, man, that's how I feel, brother. I'll definitely turn this mic over to you, and I know you're going to drop the jewels of wisdom on it. So I ask the listening audience to go ahead and grab a pen and paper, and if you're willing to come in on this topic as well, like Brother Yon said, please press 1 so we can get you. Let's see what y'all perspectives are. Peace and blessings, love and service, beloved brother.
Love, brother, love, peace. Well, I definitely have my opinion. I respect you for what you had stated. It takes, you know, a real man to look himself in the mirror and to accept that, you know, his faults and his, you know, lack thereof. But everything happens for a reason, bro. And as we always like to say, the reason, you know, the reason for it is because you are not ready. And there's a great calling for you once you've accepted that calling and you're willing to buckle down and have that self-discipline to see yourself through. But before I give my two cents, I definitely want to bring in our first caller. I think I recognize his number, but I'm just going to make sure I do before I even say any names. Caller 646-226. Please come on in. Share from your head, not from your heart. Well, share from your heart, not from your head.
Hey, peace. Peace and elevation.
I knew who it was. What's going on, my brother?
Hey, how are you, family?
Man, we love
I'm
you.
I'm doing well.
Yo, I love you too, family. Brother Hess, Brother Mike X, and Brother Yard. That's what's up, man. Yo, man.
The three horsemen.
Yo, man. Tom. You know, I love sometimes, man, with these Facebook, that feature, man, that shows you your memories, man. And sometimes you lose track of the passage of time, man. And it's dope to have a feature like that on Facebook to remind you, man, that, you know, it's been like 4 years, you know, since I first met up with you good brothers. And I definitely appreciate the fact that, you know, y'all are still at it, you know, striving to provide the community with a platform, not of promoting ratchet, ghetto stereotypes, you know what I mean, hatred and confusion and chaos, man, but you striving to provide a platform to be a beacon of hope, to be a beacon of love and light, you know what I mean? for people to flock around. Like, you know, in the summertime, man, when you see the various insect life, man, flying around that light, you know what I mean, that lamp, you know, they're attracted to the light. You know, I pray that, you know, the same way that happens, I pray that the good, you know, people out there who are connected to the Pops movement will continue to flock to this platform in the same way, flock to the light, you know, that this platform strives to, you know, make available for the people. You know, family, I was listening to what you said, and, you know, I have to say, you know, in the ultimate universal spiritual scheme of things, the way the Most High, you know, whatever name you want to go by, made it, is that nothing worthwhile comes without trial, without hard work, without discipline, without sacrifice. And it's good that, you know, the Most High made it that way, because if good things came easy, how would you be able to tell who's worthy of receiving those good things? You know, you got to fight for it. You got to prove that you want it through hard work, through discipline, through sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I like that system. I like that system. You know, unfortunately, though, I have to say that there are forces, you know, in this country in particular and in this world in general, that have made things in such a way to keep certain racial, ethnic, you know what I mean, geographical based, you know, groups, you know, under their thumb, you know, under a caste system, you know, under a class system, so that they can take advantage of them, keeping them from taking advantage or developing the self-agency, the self-determination, you know, the autonomy, the independence, you know, to come up through the ranks of knowledge, wisdom, understanding of truth, so that they can take advantage of the full spectrum of their humanity. You know, the ability that no other, and you know, that no other creature, species on this planet has to grow intellectually, you know, to learn, to expand, to refine, you know, the unique gifts and talents that each one of us has. And it's been created in a way, man, where each one of us has a gift that doesn't make us, you know, separate and apart from one another, but it prepares us to be servants to one another for the best of the whole. But this system has purposefully designated that some racial ethnic groups will be denied the ability to grow intellectually, you know, to connect with the Most High, Creator of all, the eternal spirit of truth, the sum for God. Some racial ethnic groups have been denied that for their whole lives. You know, some groups of people and individuals within those groups have had to suffer for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years or more without ever coming close to discovering the unique value of their personage. So when I listen to Brother Hess talk about a couple of gray hairs creeping into his bed, man, and I got a lot of gray hairs in mine, you know, I can relate to what he said, because for the first 21 years of my life, man, I was denied the opportunity to take advantage of my life, you know, to understand how important it is to commit myself towards disciplining myself mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. I didn't know that I had a unique value. I was tricked into believing that I was nothing but an N-word, And that the best thing that I could strive to do, man, is to, you know, get high, get drunk. I was denied the knowledge of self, that I had a personal value all my own to which I can elevate myself as an individual and help to refine myself into a vessel of hope and light and creativity to be able to serve the common interest, man, of you know, other people, of myself and other people. And I had my awakening in my early 20s. And even though I had my awakening in my early 20s, man, I couldn't just jump into, you know, making the best out of my newfound power. I still had to overcome 20-something years worth of ignorance, of customs, of habits, of beliefs, of fear, you know, the desire to fit in, you know, with other, you know, with other people who also had these fears, who also had these customs, these self-defeating, self-destructive customs. So though the light came on in my life, I was not free yet of those self-defeating, self-destructive customs. And I had to spend the next almost 30 years going through the process of integrating the newfound knowledge, wisdom, understanding, truth into my own life and into my own willingness to separate myself from who that former person was, to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, to recognize and realize that sometimes you have to step away from the mass in order to lead the mass. I mean, very early on in my consciousness, when I was awakened by the autobiography of Malcolm, and I decided that I wanted to be part of a new leadership, you know, I still, like I said, was caught up, and it was hard. It was difficult. I remember early on, I perceived that there was a higher level of existence that we are being called to by the Creator, to rise up that mountain, to throw off fleshly vices, to throw off fleshly addictions and weaknesses. I perceived early on, man, that there was a mountain that we had access to. But getting to that question, like y'all said, of laziness and procrastination, you know, from my mindset, laziness and procrastination is born of fear. You know, the fear to be different. Most people want to fit in. Most people want to be regarded by their peers, even if their peers are wrong. Most people are too afraid to step out center stage and to risk the embarrassment of failing. You know, who that end think he is, you know, to be doing that? So a lot of times we know exactly what we want to do and what we need to do, but a lot of times we're too afraid to commit ourselves to doing that. And we want to try to convince other people to take that bold step with us. But a lot of times, those people weren't the ones who was commissioned to lead that new way, to bring it forth, to plant those seeds, that there is indeed a better way for us to be moving. And what we do sometimes, man, instead of fighting to conquer our own fear, which feeds into our procrastination to make the moves that we know we need to make, we want to put the blame on everybody else for not being willing to make the move with us. And thus, you know, we get into battles with other people of ridiculing, of shaming, of judging. But it's like a question I used to ask a lot of times, man, when I was on Pops Movement Radio with you fellas. What if you realize that because you are stuck in fear and procrastination, that you are sticking a multitude of people behind you, that you were commissioned to lead into freedom. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to take up a whole lot more of your time, but you know, to end it off, you know, Brother Hess, I am just now, I'm nearing 50 years old, man. And it's just now that I'm coming into, you know, a boldness, a courage, you know, and not even just a boldness and courage, because a lot of it, man, is being sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, of choosing everything else but God, of choosing everything else but truth, and having to suffer for it, you know. And the denial has been taken away from me. The comfort of denial was taken away from me a long time ago. See, because I could hide from Brother Hess. I can hide from Brother Yon. I can hide and duck, you know, and go underground, man. I could do all of those things to hide from other people. But in the dawning of consciousness, in the light of truth, you can't hide from yourself. You can't hide from that man in the mirror, man. When you get up in the morning and you start preparing your day, man, and you, you know, fixing your hair, you brushing your teeth, and you doing all of those types of things, and you looking in that mirror, you can't hide from that person. You can't hide from your conscience. And I tell you this, man, it's two things, and I'm going to end on that note. One is we are hardwired for greatness because we come from greatness. At one point in the scriptures, I believe it's in Psalms, it says, have not you heard that ye are gods, children of the Most High God? You come from greatness. You are hardwired for greatness. And if you don't pursue greatness, you will destroy yourself in the process. You will destroy yourself in the process if you do not pursue greatness. You know what I mean? So, you know, having said all of that, family, I hope that, you know, that you two fellas will continue to pursue greatness in your own lives, you know. And I'm going to strive to continue to do the same in my life. And I hope that any listeners who are on the line will realize, man, that there is your fleshly life and there's your spiritual life. Those fears, those procrastinations, that's in line with your fleshly life. Your fleshly life wants it easy, like Brother said. It just wants to relax. It just wants to chill. It wants, you know, to sit back and put it on other people to make the moves. But the essence, the spark, the spirit of the Most High that each one of us contains, our soul, it wants to be great. It wants to spread love. It wants to spread light, man. So I just pray, man, that you will continue to strive to rise up in your full, higher mental, emotional, and spiritual faculties, man. And just get busy, man. Hope I didn't take too much of you fellas' time, man. Thank you.
That's cool.
Much love, brother. I always like listening to you, man. You always bring so much perspective and so much clarity to some of the things that I even sit there and question, you know what I mean? To make it to 50, you had to acquire something, right? But, you know, I'm just like, bro. You know, I just got to sit here and listen to, you know, two individuals I highly respect and, you know, admire for everything that they do and their personal lives and their walk of lives and all the knowledge and, you know, wisdom they've acquired and then shared with me. But I want to share something with you guys because I didn't hear from you. I didn't really hear any of this coming from you. And what I'm stating is, I think we have, as a people, have a misunderstanding of what laziness, lack of self-discipline, procrastination really is. And when I say this, I'm striving to be very sincere because, and I would relate this to the Asian culture more or less. I'm a student of martial arts, and the discipline of growing every single day in what I trust, believe, and love very much is a journey. Every single day, from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep, have I done what I need to do in my discipline? Like, I'll give you an example. I may be in the grocery store going to do my shopping, and I'm over here practicing my moves as I'm walking. People give me a look, weird looks like, what is he doing? Looks like a stretch or something. I don't know what that is. But I'm actually practicing my moves as I'm walking through the grocery store. And then when I'm going before my teachers and I'm performing the moves that I've practiced 1,000 times throughout my day, because we live in a different age than they did in that time period. As I've practiced that move over 1,000 times in the short period of time that I've been practicing it, my teacher one day said, oh, you've been practicing, huh? The move is actually in the right place now, huh? That looks pretty good, huh? And I'm the only one at my level where I'm at right now. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but I'm the only one at my level, and there's even some people a higher level than me who is performing this one specific move. It's actually very hard to do correctly because of the way your body is contorted. But because I've practiced it so many times, and I'm disciplined enough to figure out how to implement it in my everyday life, that I'm able to master it more or less, or perfect it. And one of the things that I've learned, you know, through this subject, is that our people already have this discipline within them. They already are lacking laziness where they have love. Love is a universal principle through all we do. And, you know, let's just go from a psychological aspect of laziness. What is laziness? Laziness is like a habit rather than a mental health issue. We're not mentally, you know, restricting ourselves. It's just a habit that we've developed. It may reflect a lack of self-esteem. Well, we don't, like Brother Mike X had said, we fear a lack of positive recognition by others. Nobody sees me doing it. Therefore, you know, nobody's going to acknowledge I'm doing it. Well, I may as well just do whatever the heck I feel like doing. Or a lack of discipline stemming from the low self-confidence. Or a lack of interest in the activity or belief in its efficacy. Now, what did I just say? A lack of interest in the activity creates laziness. I could show you so many children that will be glued to that TV playing video games, and that takes a lot of freaking discipline to do. But to you and I, it's like, why would you spend all that time playing a video game when you could be doing something else? Well, they don't love that something else. And that's one of the things we have to, you know, start thinking about. We have that already, like Mike says, instinctually into us. It's a survival tactic. You know, the causes of laziness, understanding the causes of our sloth can help us to overcome it. You know, like our nomadic ancestors had to conserve energy to compete for scarce resources and to fight or flee enemies and predators. Expanding effort on anything other, and I mean other than short-term advantage, could jeopardize their very survival. So their focus was in the moment. Not anything outside of that moment was their energy focused into. They were so disciplined into that moment of how to survive. Our children, and even some of our elders, are focused into what they love. So that video game may be what their survival tactic is, because that brings them that sanity, that clarity they need to continue throughout their day. Now, how do we use that love and help create the self-discipline in other areas of their lives? Well, that's by taking away certain things that they have lack of care for. Because if you give them too much too soon, they're going to neglect the majority of it and only focus on what they need to do. Because people are not born with self-discipline. They need to develop it, but they don't know how to do so. So if you give them too much to be disciplined with, they're going to procrastinate. They're going to neglect it. But if you tell them, look, I want you to focus on this one thing, and I know that you enjoy this one thing, and let's start from that. Let's work from that aspect. Because I'll give you another example of just myself. Man, there's a lot of days waking up in the morning and stretching. and training before I go to work, and then going to work and sitting there and dealing with people and problems and issues and attitudes and whatever there may be that it comes through on my entire day. And then after I'm done with that, to go straight to more training and to do after all that, come home and then maybe stretch some more, maybe make myself some food and maybe try to study, maybe try to read, try to do something with my day-to-day operation. There's days I don't feel like doing crap. Like, man, forget this. Ain't nobody watching me. Ain't nobody going to test me on this. I don't care. I don't feel like doing it. I'm working on this one activity now. It's called the King Arthur Workout. It's 1,000 push-ups a day, 100 pull-ups, 1,000 sit-ups, and 500 up-downs. I get to about halfway point, and I don't feel like doing it no more. And this is throughout the day is what it says to do. It doesn't say to do it all in one time. It says to do it throughout the day, little by little. And what it's supposed to do is develop a discipline within your body that your body is ready throughout the entire day to act as fast as it can and react to whatever situation you're in. If you look at the old Asian, you know, arts and the way those people lived, they perfected every single moment that they were in. So if it was walking, it's not a big deal. But if they were, let's say, for example, pouring something into a cup with a ladle, they would grab the ladle. It would be methodically pick it up, pour it in there, nice and slow. Put the ladle down perfectly. We're so distracted in all the distractions that we have surrounding us on a day-to-day, day-to-day lives that we're creating a negative mental programming and a negative environment that are responsible for our lack of self-discipline, that are responsible for our laziness because we're just too distracted. There's too much going on. You know what I mean? We're just not sure what to do and how to do it. And that's why I'm saying we need to consolidate because our fear of failure is also the reason for the lack of self-discipline. It prevents initiative and perseverance and leads to lack of inner strength. Our temptations weaken our self-discipline. That's why the Bible in particular or, you know, certain other scriptures speak about that self-discipline within them. And you need people who are going to be our examples to show us this. But until we have those people, like, for example, Brother Mike X or Brother Hest, and I'm not even there yet myself, but those people who are walking that life of self-discipline, walking that life of the example that they can show you in their walk of life, you're not going to know what to do with it. And until we rewire, reprogram, redo whatever it is that we need to do, we're not going to get there. We need to be goal and purpose-driven people. Our lives are designed by that. If we don't have them, we can't have discipline. We're going to have procrastination. It's another reason to have the lack of self-discipline, lack of willpower, motivation, ambition, our causes for the lack of self-discipline. Because if we get discouraged and if I put a task in front of you that you don't know how to do or you don't want to do, you're not going to do it. But if you're an athlete, the athlete is perfecting every single day his sport. The singer perfects their voice every single day. The actor or actress perfects their acting every single day with other like-minded individuals or individuals who are better them at it than they are. So what we need to do is change the way we look at it because it's something positive. We already have it kind of within us. It's a habit that we have to cultivate within us. But it has to be centered around what we love and not what we think we love. I'm talking about what we truly do love. Because until we have that, we're going to be weakened. Because we're typically, in our society, we're weak in our state of health. That's one of our weakest. Our mental health is one of our weakest things that creates that lack of self-discipline. Because we're mentally unstable because we're so distracted from what we want or need. And we're distracted by the television. We're distracted by people's problems. Or we're distracted by other things. We first have to develop it within ourselves, and then it goes out from there. And, you know, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it happens overnight. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm ever going to be a perfect individual for it. But I guarantee you I'm going to continue to strive for it every single day to the perfection of the day. There's days I don't want to come in here and talk about nothing. You could ask our brother. I've told him, like, man, I don't feel like doing nothing today. But let's do it, man. It's another day. I can't fail the people, man. I got to be here for them. I got to be there. You know, it's not even for them, really, because it's for myself, because it shows that my dedication is there. It shows that my willingness to do what is right is there. And that's where the respect lies into it. People don't respect people they don't appreciate. That's what we're striving for. And that's what the Family of Pops movement strives for, the perfection of self first and then the community. So with that being said, we are on our last 9 minutes. If you do want to come in, press one, let us know how you're feeling. And if you just want to continue to listen, I'm more than happy to keep talking. But, you know, now that we got about 9 minutes left, I'll let our brothers, you know, kick it off real quickly with any last thoughts, comments, questions, or whatever it may be. Brother Est.
Peace and blessings, love and service, family. I definitely want to continue to thank everybody that's taking the time to be here tonight. And definitely want to give a big salute to Brother Mike X, man, for bringing that truth, man, that power, that strength in yourself, brother, for bringing that acknowledgement of that it's not bad to be lazy, that it's not, you know, a wrong thing, you know what I mean? And we have to continue to remember that. Brother, let me ask you a question. What did you mean when you say that, you know, procrastination in that sense is bad, but lacking self-discipline is okay, it's good? Can you further explain that?
Lacking self-discipline is okay in the sense that it's good because it gives you something to strive for. Because when you're focused on what you're striving to accomplish, whatever it is in your life, if you're focused on the video game, you're not lacking self-discipline in that. You're lacking self-discipline in other areas of your life. You know what I mean? So it's more or less that you can't beat yourself up over it, because you're going to procrastinate in things that you don't care about, with things that you don't love. It's just what's going to happen. That's a good thing because it lets you develop an understanding of what you like and don't like. Now, if you don't develop the self-discipline in what you do love, then that's an individual self issue. That's not something that anybody can help you other than yourself. So we got to look at it from the good and the bad. You know what I mean? It gives you that understanding of where you're at today and where you need to go for tomorrow, or where you were, more or less. You could have developed some self-discipline along the way. You're just still lacking it in other areas of life, and that's why you're procrastinating, because you just don't care. You don't give a flying F. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for breaking that down. You know, when I sit back and I ponder what both you and Brother Mike X share tonight, it definitely takes me to the place of breaking my curse. And when I focus on the solution of breaking the curses and procrastinating, I see that I have a responsibility in life. And like Brother Mike X said, you know, there have been capitalists who the only focus that they have is capitalizing on every area of life concerning money, concerning people's attention, because money and people's attention leads to power for them. And so their sole endeavor is to gain power and money at the expense of people's attention span, like you just shared. And that's what I gave into. I gave into placing my attention span on the dope man, on the rappers that wanted to be rough and tough and slick and cool and Pimp Mac Daddy fashion out there on the set, where it's like, man, I'm the flyest thing alive. Don't y'all see me? Look at me now. You know what I mean? Look at my rings. Look at my wardrobe. Look at my ride. See? You see? Because that was what defined success from that level of understanding. And it's like when I unplug myself from that and I plug into what is required to be a man, to be an organizer, to be one who initiates a supreme state of existence through the mind and the spirit. It's like when I took that time to do that, I began to obtain what it is to be anti-perfectionist. procrastination. And today I'm finding self-discipline at its greatest level in my life thus far on this path. And I haven't achieved any great heights, so I haven't achieved the pinnacle, because I got so much more to learn, to study, to understand, to piece together. But at the same time, I'm proud of where I'm getting at today, because I see that I can see clearer now. The rain is gone. I can see clearer now. The smoke is fade out. And as my vision gets clearer, I can see what it is that I'm supposed to be focused on a little better day by day. And it's a practice. Because some days I wake up just like you said, and I done had dreams, and it took me back to 1989 or to 99 or 2009. And I get in the wrong spell. I get in the wrong mind state. And so I just want to salute all those who are finding teachers, senseis, mentors, figures that they can begin to emulate. Because that's what I need in my life. I need a continual challenge. And it reminded me of what you said, brother, when you said the young kid playing the video game, wanting to get to that next level and the next level and the next level because they want to win. I don't know anybody in life that just wants to lose. I think even a killer wants to win. In some way, shape, form, or fashion, they are striving to achieve a sense of winning. It's just they're winning at the wrong game. The drug dealer, they're winning at the wrong game. And the only way that we can find the right game is to find ourselves, not what we seen on TV and horror movies or what we witness in videos that was meant to stimulate the mind and grab the attention and to captivate one and hold them there. And so as I break these spells, as I unbind myself from these spells, as I begin to break the curse that held me captivated and captive too long in my life, I'm beginning to see. I'm beginning to think. I'm beginning to practice. And I'm beginning to renew my mind daily so that I can start on a clean slate. And by the end of the day, I can look back and say, man, I pray I made my higher power proud of me today. And so with that being said, brother, when I just want to, I don't know if anybody would like to press one and come in before we close out, but I do want to pass the mic because I know that you brought this topic and I know you want to close this topic appropriately. So I say peace and blessings. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this night with you tonight. Much love, man, and much higher power favor goes upon our beloved brother Mike X, who dropped the science. And, man, I love all y'all very much, and I wish you many peace and blessings, love and service, family.
Most definitely, my brother. Appreciate that, and appreciate my brother Mike X. Yeah, yeah. As we're nearing the end, I definitely want to finish off with this, and I'm getting this from Forbes. They did a 2011 stress survey in America. 20% of the respondents said the lack of willpower was the biggest barrier to making healthy lifestyle changes. Many of the respondents agreed that they could likely increase their willpower, but the vast majority felt the key to improved willpower was having more time to themselves. While many of the respondents may have not recognized it, that increased leisure time does not automatically equate to increased self-discipline. Instead, the only way to improve your self-discipline is through intentional and dedicated practice. As with all types of self-improvement, change is difficult and it takes time. They say here are six strategies to increase your self-discipline. Acknowledge your weakness. Whether cookies are the downfall to your diet or you can resist checking your social media accounts every 2 minutes, acknowledge your pitfalls. Too often, people either try to pretend their weaknesses don't exist, or they try to minimize the negative impact their bad habits have on their lives. For example, many smokers think, I could quit if I wanted to, because they don't want to admit they're hooked. Number two, establish a clear plan. No one wakes up one day suddenly blessed with self-discipline. Instead, you need a strategy. Whether you want to increase good habits, like exercising more often, or you want to eliminate bad habits, like watching too much TV, you'll need to develop a plan to outline the action steps that will help you reach your goals. Step three, remove the temptations when necessary. Although we'd all like to believe we all have enough willpower to resist even the most alluring enticement, it only takes one moment of weakness to convince ourselves to cave to temptation. Making it difficult to access those temptations can be pivotal to increasing self-discipline. If your weakness is Facebook, turn off the internet while you are working. If you can't resist overspending when you go to the mall, leave the credit card at home. Only take a small amount of cash. Number four, practicing tolerating emotional discomfort. This is huge. It's normal to want to avoid pain and discomfort, but trying to eliminate all discomfort will only reinforce to yourself that you can't handle distress. We can usually stand a lot more discomfort than we think we can. Practice allowing yourself to experience uncomfortable emotions like boredom, frustration, sadness, or loneliness, and increase your tolerance to the negative emotions that you may experience as you increase your self-discipline. Visualize the long-term rewards is number five. You'll be less likely to cave to temptation when you focus on the long-term gain. Giving in to today's temptations may make you feel happy today, now, but long-term happiness and contentment requires you to forego immediate gratification. Visualize yourself meeting your goals and reaping the rewards of your game by practicing self-discipline on a daily basis. Step six, recover from mistakes effectively. Self-discipline comes out easier on some days than others. If you're feeling stressed about an upcoming presentation, you may convince yourself to skip your workout. If you're ecstatic about your most recent business deal, you may let your good habits slide for a bit. Making mistakes is a part of the process to becoming better. The way you recover from those mistakes is what's important. The key is to acknowledge your mistakes and move on from them with even more resolve to do better next time. It's not surprising that those who lack self-discipline are somewhat envious of those who seem to be able to exert impressive self-control. After all, self-discipline is the key to reaching your goals and creating a better life. The good news is we all have the ability to be self-disciplined. We just have to practice. I know those football players, those basketball players, those martial artists, those doctors, those lawyers, those individuals who broke the curse of laziness, apathy, lack of self-discipline. I know it looks so easy when they do it, but you have no idea what those people go through. And when I was speaking about what I do in the grocery stores by practicing a certain move, you don't know what I go through on a day-to-day basis to practice my self-discipline and practice what I love. Find out what you love. Go through the trials and tribulations of struggle and make sure you get through them, because nobody's going to do it for you. But when you do get through it, you're now another living testimony, another living example of breaking the curse. That being said, I thank you all for coming in, sharing exactly what you had to say, and I wish everybody many peace and blessings. Have a good night. Hey.
see him coming when you're moving at the favorite bar. He's the death of the party and a self-proclaimed superstar. Got a permanent jolt to assure you he's been everywhere. The show-stopping, name-dropping answer to the lady's prayer. To hear him tell her he had more romances than doctors got pills. He had more romances than Beverly got hills. And he's a legend in his own mind. And God has gift to women on a day God wasn't giving up a thing. You don't have to listen when he's rattling on. You don't have to listen, he's telling everybody else. You don't have to believe him, I don't think I'll ever believe him. Matter of fact, he may well not believe himself. For him to go around. You know he had more romances than airplanes got gauges. He had more romances than the phone book got pages. He's a